W228 EP Eau Claire and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Longtime CBS Sunday Morning host Charles Osgood has died. Here's correspondent Jane Pauley.
Good morning. I'm Charles Osgood, and this is Sunday Morning.
He was the admired yet approachable host of Sunday Morning for more than 22 years.
The Osgood File. This is Charles Osgood.
And that reassuring voice of CBS Radio's The Osgood File for nearly 46.
We have actors and artists, not just politicians.
His beloved Sunday Morning was the beneficiary of his passions.
Our Sunday mornings are filled with such things. We have
I cannot think of anything that has given me more pleasure professionally than Sunday Morning, because first of all, it feels great to be part of something that people love, and I know that they do.
Osgood was 91 years old. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are fast-tracking a bill to put new abortion restrictions to a binding statewide referendum in April. Maya Sachon is a medical student in Milwaukee. She says political decisions about abortion infringe on medical care.
I want to stay in Wisconsin. I want to help people here. But passing restrictions like this drive physicians and future healthcare providers out of this state.
The bill got a hearing yesterday. Governor Evers has indicated he'll veto it if it passes. President Biden will be back in Wisconsin Thursday. He plans to talk about his administration's efforts to rebuild the nation's infrastructure in Superior. The president's visit comes after Vice President Kamala Harris visited the Waukesha area yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's congressional delegation is pushing to keep the state's lake sturgeon population from being listed as a threatened or endangered species. According to a WPR report, U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher announced the introduction of a bill to exempt Wisconsin from listing the fish under the Endangered Species Act, arguing sturgeon spearing is a vital way of life to the northeast Wisconsin region. Conservationists argue the sturgeon population has declined more than 99% over the last century. The Eau Claire City Council will vote tonight on a resolution to give nearly $300,000 in housing grants to two local organizations. One organization, the Eau Claire Area Hmong Mutual Assistance Association, would use the funding for upkeep on one of their affordable housing units. The other, Home for Good, would commit the money to create safe, affordable housing in partnership with Habitat for Humanity. The organization would purchase the properties and Habitat for Humanity would build the homes. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks beat the Pistons again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee beat the Pistons in Detroit for the second time, 122-113, part of a two-game series. Chris Middleton with 26 points, surpassing the big dog Glenn Robinson as the third highest career scorer in Bucks history. He also had a few words with his teammates late in the game.
Just to take away confusion, that's all it was. So, you know, guys make their calls, stay with it. We all honor the call of what's being said out there. That's the only way we beat one team and we stay on the same page. That's all that was about.
The Bucks returned to Pfizer form Wednesday night for the start of a two-night stand against the Cleveland Cavaliers. NFL, the Packers continue meetings following their season-ending loss to the 49ers. I asked Preston Smith what he told the younger players that they need to be thinking about next.
You know, we got to have a championship offseason. We got to focus on things that we can improve on and come out there and make sure that our weaknesses are our strengths now and that we improve on the things we're good at.
That's Packers linebacker Preston Smith. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Cloudy and mild today as high temperatures climb to the low 30s. Patchy fog builds in overnight as lows take a dip to the upper 20s. Tomorrow is when we rise above freezing. Fog will become more widespread and patchy freezing drizzle and light snow pushes in Wednesday night. Right now, 33 degrees.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albagni as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address, Tuesday night at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media Live. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. It's being made today in New Hampshire. Been to New Hampshire a number of times. Spoke at St. Anselm's College one time. It's a great state. It's a state that has a weird thing about its voting. There is a little town in New Hampshire called Dixville Notch. Dixville Notch has probably a dozen inhabitants. It's very, very tiny. But over the years, they have elected to open their polls at 12:01 a.m. on election day, primary and general. There's a lot of national publicity about how they voted. Now, it's statistically meaningless, because with 12 inhabitants, you might get 5-6 voters. And what they do is not reflective of anything, but it gets a headline. And these people line up 12:01 a.m. They open and they start voting. Well, they voted. They voted this morning. 6-0. Nikki Haley over Trump. 6-0 in Dixville Notch. Again, it's not dispositive of anything. It's not indicative of anything. But it's better than being 0-6 if you're the candidate that's on the 6-0 side of this. What's going to happen? Some of the polling places in New Hampshire close at 7 p.m. That's Eastern time. Some close at 8 p.m. Well, they're an hour later. So that means some of them are going to close at 6 p.m. Wisconsin time and the rest 7 p.m. Wisconsin time. So if you sit up after dinner, you'll get some very, very early reaction. There's a lot of talk going around. I mean, Trump, in effect, because he was president, is seen as something of an incumbent, even though a disgraced incumbent, twice impeached. Second time, he had 8 Republican senators join the Democrats in voting to convict him. About 58 senators voted to convict him. 58% of the Senate voted to convict him for launching the insurrection, but it takes 67%. And the rest of them, including Moscow Mitch, who ranted and raved, but he nevertheless voted not to convict Donald Trump. Anyway, the guy, crooked Donald Trump, facing 91 felony counts, 4 separate indictments in 4 different jurisdictions, guy that betrayed us to Putin, betrayed us. He's a Russian agent, crooked as a dog's hind leg, crooked Donald Trump. In any event, he's forecast to win. I haven't the faintest idea if he will or not. polls are somewhat in his favor. The latest polls I saw show that among Republican voters, he gets about two-thirds, a little under two-thirds. And Nikki Haley gets the rest. On independents, she gets 50%, and he gets something in the high 30s. Now, all of that information in the buck will get you on the bus. I mean, that's not dispositive of anything. However, he keeps hammering her. He hammers her, making fun of her name. She had an ethnic first name. She goes by Nikki now. And the fact that her parents were born abroad. They came from India. She was born in the United States. She was governor of South Carolina. And he made her the ambassador of the United Nations. So I don't know what's going to happen out there. The book is that, you know, she will get the moderates and so forth. I haven't the faintest idea. However, there are a couple of developments that happen out there that I've really got to comment on. One of them, we've talked a lot about Trump's starting to lose it, that he has early onset, argumentative dementia, and all that, but he's just flat out nutty about some of the things he said. And we're going to talk about it a little later in the show, but I just want to raise this in New Hampshire that just came out in his last appearance just before the primary today. He spoke at a rally in Laconia, New Hampshire. And once again, he said, I aced a cognitive test after correctly naming a giraffe, a tiger, and a whale. Okay, well, good for you. Most people don't get cognitive tests. They're not required to, and it wouldn't occur to them to do it. Why was he given a cognitive test by a doctor? So he can boast and say he aced it, and he named a giraffe. This is what he said, a giraffe, a tiger, and a whale. Okay. But then he went on to a disjointed rant. And when he talks about things like nuclear weapons, that's what he did. Presidents don't do that. Why don't they do that? Because it gets people around the world nervous. Everybody knows we have nuclear weapons. But the strength of our nuclear weapons are that you don't boast about them. You're silent about them. Everybody knows we have them. They know if they attack us, they're toast. They launch nuclear weapons, they're toast. You don't answer questions. Some idiot in the press goes, what would you rule out a preemptive first strike? You say, look, we don't even discuss any of this. We're peaceful people, and we don't see conflict with anyone. You reassure people, not this guy. Oh, no, not this guy. He said he will build an iron dome over the United States. He meant the anti-missile system that Israel has that's been so effective. And he likened it to Star Wars. That was, you may not remember this, but under Ronald Reagan, he proposed something similar. The problem, there are two problems with it. One is we don't need it. We have what's called the triad. We have ICBM missiles in silos. We have bombers with nuclear weapons. And our submarine fleet is our primary deterrent. Recently, we had two American submarines surface at the first time off the coast of North Korea near China. You know, they have a border with China. Both China and North Korea didn't know they were there, hadn't detected them, didn't know that they had been communicating with each other, and we popped up at the same time, scared the heck out of them. That's the way you do it. You keep your mouth shut. Here's what Trump said, though. He said, quote, and they calmly walk up to us and ding, 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 ding. They've only got 17 seconds to figure the whole thing out. Boom. Okay. Missile launch. Whoosh. Boom. Okay. You know, this is a guy running for president. He's like a kid. He's like a kid with a toy gun and going bang, bang. You don't talk like that. It makes people nervous, and people like Putin who control them, and increasingly Xi of China who control them, they have his number. One of the things that blew me away, it was reported that Marjorie Taylor Greene is in New Hampshire now campaigning for him. And I'm thinking, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't need any guidance on who I'm going to vote for, but if I didn't know who I was going to vote for, and she showed up to campaign for somebody, I'd vote against that person. I'd say, are you out of your mind? Why is she voting for you? Why did you let her vote for you? Why did you let her campaign for you? Then he lines up as if this is a big deal, like a lineup. He lines up Vivek Ramaswamy, Doug Burgum, Tim Scott. And he has them all lined up. All these characters. Alight Rents. I mean, none of them could run a lemonade stand. And they're there grinning and gripping and all that. And, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy got a couple of points. He's a guy who's being sued for securities fraud by his chief operating officer, who alleges that he ordered her to commit securities fraud. That's pending right now. That's pending right now. He's never held office. And he has the foreign policy. He espoused the foreign policy of Narendra Modi's Hindu Nationalist Party in India, which is they love Russia and they hate Ukraine. And he referred to Zelensky as a Nazi. That's what he referred to him as. And we got to, you know, stop helping Ukraine. Russia is not so bad. This isn't American foreign policy. This is Narendra Modi's foreign policy. Trump's hugging this guy up there. Doug Burgum, the guy from North Dakota, very nice guy. Very nice guy, desperately looking for some action, maybe looking for a minor cabinet appointment or something, looking to get out of North Dakota as quick as he can. I mean, this guy, I mean, this character's up there, these two characters. And then Tim Scott. Tim Scott's up there. Tim Scott from South Carolina was appointed to the Senate by Nikki Haley. And he cheerfully stabbed her in the back. A2, Tim. A2, remember? Caesar with Brutus? A2, Brute. A2, Scotty. What a man. You know, these guys, I don't know if they think they're ever running for president again. And then, of course, DeSantis endorses him. He didn't show up personally, but he endorsed him. DeSantis said that he didn't think that Trump had the mental acuity to be president. He said that Trump would lose the presidency, that we didn't need a guy that old and weak. And he endorses him. I mean, what kind of character does it take for these four clowns to get up there on their hind legs and endorse this guy? So you got to kind of enjoy it in an odd, perverse way. I've looked at some of the coverage today, and they interview these voters, and a lot of that is just sort of sound candy in the background. I mean, you could interview any voter walking out of any poll in Milwaukee, Madison, Hayward, Ladysmith, Superior, Kenosha, Janesville, Marinette, doesn't matter. And they'll all have a weird story to tell or why they did it. Totally irrational. It's a collective irrationality that collectively makes a lot of sense and is rational as democracy. Everybody has their own little predilections and prejudices. I get it. But I'm going to be watching tonight. You should too. Biden is not on a primary ballot because the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, ruled that South Carolina's primary should be first on our side. So Biden, there are a lot of write-in people for him, but it doesn't really matter. He didn't contest it at all. Coming up, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals denies Trump's request to have a new hearing on the gag order put in by Tanya Chutkin. Coming up very quick.
Midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The Todd Almaz Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
It's
flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alma Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a decision just came down from the District of Columbia, the U.S. Court of Appeals for D.C. Trump, remember, there was a gag order imposed by Tonya Chutkan, went up to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals upheld it. Trump then brought a petition, a motion for rehearing on bank, the ANC. What does that mean? It's an old word, you know, comes from Latin, corrupt French, on bank. It just means that he wants a new hearing with more than just the panel that turned him down. Panels are three judges, but on bank means every judge in the circuit. And it depends on the size of the circuit. An on bank review out in California, the Ninth Circuit would have a couple of dozen judges. In the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, where I clerked in Chicago for the Chief Judge, the Honorable Thomas Fairchild, they might have, I don't know, 9, 10, 11, 12. But the D.C. Circuit has some pride of place among federal appellate judges. They are seen as sort of senior, not legally, but remember, you know, the First Circuit's in Boston, the Second Circuit's in New York, Third Circuit's in Philadelphia. Four circuits down in Richmond, Virginia, Fifth Circuit's down south, Sixth Circuit's in Cincinnati, Cleveland, that area, but in the Seventh in Chicago. But the one in D.C. gets a lot of very, very complicated federal regulatory cases, so they're seen as a big deal. Not legally, but in fact, they're seen as a big deal. And so when they say a lot of Supreme Court judges serve on the D.C. Court of Appeals before they're elevated to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's a big deal. And he petitioned for an on-bank hearing, which would mean all of them. What they do is they circulate that and they do an internal vote. And it depends on what their rules are. But basically, you'd have to have a slug of them that really want it. Maybe not a majority, but enough of them. In this case, they're all going, no way. Get out of here. You mangy dog, get out of here. You know, what they're facing is in their own backyard, or death threats against Jack Smith and Tonya Chutkan. Tonya Chutkan actually had a woman from Texas travel there to kill her. It was intercepted, fortunately. That woman is now in prison and will be for a long time and should be for a long time. But Donald Trump lathered her up by attacking Tonya Chutkan and Jack Smith. He lathered them up and they end up going to prison. A couple of the Oath Keepers were sentenced for more than 20 years. This is serious stuff. This woman's going to be sentenced for a long time. There are threats against federal judges. Several have been killed. There is a special task force in the Justice Department that goes around the country assisting state district attorneys and attorneys general if there are threats against state judges. And then if it's a federal judge litigating themselves, and one of my buddies from high school, Mark Bonner, who, after he left the Justice Department, was a lawyer for Homeland Security, and Mark was one of the leaders on that task force, spent time up in Alaska. There was a murder of a judge up there. There's one down in Southwest, I think it was New Mexico or Arizona. We don't put up with that. Trump is instigating that. Trump is instigating that. Murder of a judge, a federal judge's son in New Jersey, shot at the door, murder in Chicago of a federal judge's family. He is instigating that. This isn't just shooting his mouth off in lawlessness. This is deliberate. So the D.C. Circuit is not putting up with this. And the D.C. Circuit denied his motion for a rehearing on bank. Now, what that's going to leave him is the tarantulas, the six tarantulas. Now, what are they going to do? The tarantulas are out over their skis. They're overplaying their hand because the tarantulas now are being referred to as tarantulas, and they know that they, some are on the take, and that they are deliberately ruling to simply solidify Republican power, donor power, and injure the United States. That's how they are perceived. And I'm talking about Citizens United, Shelby County, Dobbs, a couple of others. And now they may overrule the Chevron doctrine. So they're very, very careful and cautious and somewhat sneaky. And occasionally they throw the other side a bone. And it's not the other side. It's just basically rational judicial action. So this time around, they may not overturn the gag order. For one thing, they're sitting ducks themselves. The Congress had to pass a special protection order for the U.S. Supreme Court. And I remember Moscow Mitch was pushing it very hard, and it was fine. I agree with it 100%. Kavanaugh was accosted in a restaurant, and I think they had to hustle him out the back door. And so you don't want that. You need our federal judges, but you need honest federal judges that don't destroy the country. And we cannot have violence. And so Trump is instigating that violence by relentless attacks, relentless death threats. Jack Smith, and he threatened Jack Smith's wife. I have no idea why. She may have worked for a Democratic congressman or something at some time. Not quite certain what the deal was, but he attacked the wife, and people have children. And so what they do is, Jack Smith sold his home. He has protection. Millions of dollars have been spent on protecting him because of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump always pushes the limit. He goes, oh, my First Amendment rights. You know, the correct answer judges never do is shut up. You should be in jail. Shut up. You should be in jail. Shut up about federal judges and prosecutors. They don't talk that way. And probably just as well, they don't talk that way. But he ain't getting relief out of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And he may go up to the tarantulas and we'll see what happens. The other thing is he violates orders when they are put in. Judge Engoron in New York, remember in the fraud case by Letitia James, he's threatened Engoron. He's threatened Engoron's law clerk, for peace sake. He's threatened Letitia James. And Engoron put in a gag order and Trump violated it. He went ahead and attacked her on his website and on social media. And so he was fined. But, you know, he's fined, what, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. I'm not saying that's not a lot of money, but it's not to him because he is basically a thief and he gets his money out of his donors. A lot of people send him money. He says, help me build the wall. Help me push back against the rigged election. So he gets millions of dollars. He doesn't do anything to push back against the election because it wasn't rigged, but he helps himself to any legal fees and whatever else. I mean, there's no oversight of what he does. So, and this is the guy who right now in the polls is ahead in New Hampshire. And what's going to come of that? Well, what's going to come after that is this. There's a caucus and a primary in Nevada for the Republicans. The caucus picks the delegates. The primary is a beauty contest. And then there's South Carolina. And we are going to see, it's going to be a white knuckle ride for the next month till Super Tuesday. And then we're going to know better where we stand. All right, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather. And the Republicans are blocking a border deal, which gives them everything they want just to perpetuate chaos in the campaign. Coming up.
Hey, Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that on Wednesday, the 24th, Todd will be back with us live in Wausau. So join us then from noon to 2.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. Every drop of milk produced in the United States is priced based on what's called the Federal Milk Marketing Orders. Now, for the first time in decades, the dairy industry, along with USDA, is looking at revising these complex rules. One problem that's been revealed is that the dairy farmers directly impacted by those orders may not even have a voice on accepting or denying the verdict. Lucas Sostrom is with Minnesota Milk and Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, and he explains why Wisconsin farmers might miss out on having their opportunity to vote.
If your plant did not pool during the month USDA selects, so USDA is going to select one month when they do the voting and say, you know, maybe it's February of 2023, that is the month. Anybody pooled in that month gets to vote nationwide, but anybody not pooled in that month doesn't get to vote. So that's a huge disadvantage for the upper Midwest, because in the Northeast and the Southeast, they're all going to be pooled. We're going to be disenfranchised somewhat as voters, and you know, our Edge members, there's been a lot of depooling here in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So everything we've been complaining about, the members who were really affected the most might not even have a vote on the issue.
This week marks the 11th week that USDA has been gathering testimony. Lucas Sostrom with Minnesota Milk and Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative says no one is sure when they'll conclude the process. I've got more farm news on the way.
Fabulous Farm Babe, glad to be joined in studio today by Doug Munson. He is the gentleman that is working in conjunction with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to make things happen here in the state of Wisconsin. What starts in Wisconsin can have a ripple effect across the United States.
That's what we always hope for, it is what are those ripple effects? You know, for every dollar that's invested, it's a return of $12.34. You know, how those investments really bring value, they can be debated or they can be looked at in many different ways. Biodiesel brings, I think we say over a dollar now, you know, years ago before inflation, we'll say, it was 63 cents to a bushel of soybeans that brought that value. Whether it's 63 cents or it's $1.34, which we've heard as high as that amount, that's a huge amount of value to your bushel of soybeans. So those are the things that are ripple effects, right? That can start in Wisconsin or sometimes at the national level, but have big impact in the world of soybean.
Doug Munson, in studio with me on behalf of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, the financial driving force behind our research that's done here in the state of Wisconsin. For more, pop on over to cornsoyexpo.org.
You hear from us all the time. Well, we want to hear from you, too. If you've got a story idea or want to tell us what's going on the farm, send us a text through our talk text line. That number is 877-301-301. 3276. Something we're talking about today. Tomorrow, the Farmer Veteran Coalition of Wisconsin is hosting its winter conference. This will be at the new Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover. Whether you're planning to expand or are interested in fine-tuning your financial awareness, there is something for everyone. Just be sure to register in advance. Find those details at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Cloudy and mild today as high temperatures climb to the low 30s. Patchy fog builds in overnight as lows take a dip to the upper 20s. Tomorrow is when we rise above freezing. Fog will become more widespread and patchy freezing drizzle and light snow pushes in Wednesday night. Right now, 33 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the word was that all day yesterday, the bipartisan Senate committee working on the bill that would provide border security, some substantial changes to our immigration policy, Ukraine aid, and Israel aid, worked hard, and they have come up with something. Trump, as you know, has ordered the House and ordered any senators he can order around to reject it. He said, unless you get 100%, don't do it. And 100% is very vague. It's very ambiguous. What does that mean? Does it mean that you detain millions of people and stick them in camps called not concentration camps, but, you know, some other kind of camp to make it look good? Well, here is the problem, and most people, when they're looking at this, aren't taking into account the history of the Republican Party in the last, 60 years. So let me just do that right now. Trump is doing this to keep a campaign issue alive. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's doing it to keep chaos, to keep every night busloads of people from Texas sent by Abbott to New York and Chicago and other cities roaming around the streets. Everybody gets very anxious. Why isn't somebody doing anything? Biden's doing something. The Democrats are doing something. And the Republican Senate is doing something. But the Republican House, which is more volatile, it has people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Paul Gosar and the rest of them, harder to corral, and a frightened Mike Johnson who wants to stay as speaker. They are the impediment because Trump has threatened them. And ostensibly he'll say, you know, well, you got to do it. If you don't do it, you're not a good Republican. You're a rhino. That's a death sentence, a death threat to some people. These congressmen, many of them have security paid for out of their campaign funds. Federal Election Commission passed a rule that said that that is a legitimate expenditure and it should not be income to the congressman, and they have it for their kids, for their wives, because of Trump. Well, remember the background on it, and then I'll go to the lines. I see you on the lines. In 1968, Richard Nixon was running against Hubert Humphrey. I was a Humphrey guy. Humphrey looked good in the polls. Nixon and his people, Henry Kissinger, secretly negotiated with the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese to delay any kind of peace talks, any kind of resolution of the war till after Nixon got in. And they did that to inject an issue in the 1968 race, and Hubert Humphrey lost that race by about 300,000 votes. In 1980, Reagan was running against Ronald Reagan against Jimmy Carter. When he ran against them, remember there were, 400 hostages, maybe a little more, seized by the Iranian jihadist guard. And they had them, they blindfolded and walked them around and all that. And Carter had already negotiated with threats of military force and some other things, their release. Reagan's people met with the Iranians in private and got them to agree to release them the day after Reagan was sworn in. He interfered. Ronald Reagan interfered with their early release, their scheduled release. In 2016, Trump's people secretly negotiated with the Russians to hold off any cooperation with the Obama government, the Biden government, Democrats, and Mike Flynn, Don Jr., and Manafort were his agents that did that. They changed the platform of the Republican Party in the summer of 2016 to be pro-Russian, not pro-Ukraine. Trump's gotten money from these people. And in 2024, is right this year, the Republicans come close to shutting down the government, not paying our troops. They didn't promote generals and admirals for 10 months. Everybody was in and out in the Republican Party, and now they're blocking a border deal to cause chaos and hurt Biden. This is the Republican Party going back at least till 1968. The last one that wasn't as crooked as a dog's hind leg was Dwight Eisenhower, a great man, great president, going to the lines. Jan of Racine, my friend, thanks for calling. Jan, what's in your mind today? Jan of Racine. Yeah, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'd just like to just say something. I really truly feel that Trump is trying to just hold on to power. I think he promised Putin something, and I think desperately he's afraid of Putin, and that's why no matter what, he got all these people riled up because he's trying to save them himself. He doesn't really care about democracy, but it's just scary that so many smart Republicans just don't see ideally what's happening. He wants to become a dictator and turn our country into what Russia and North Korea has. And I really don't understand. I'm 71 years old. I'm an old school hippie. I like to call myself. White people just don't see that. I just don't get it. There's something he made a promise he's desperately trying to keep. You know, it's just, I don't know. Right. And just one last thing. Where's the money that Jared Kushner got, the something, whatever, millions of dollars? Why isn't anyone asking about that money? You know, I'm curious. Where's that money? Where's that money?
That is, these are dynamite questions, Jan. And it was $2 billion with a B. And his fee is at least $40 million a year, and nobody's saying anything about it because the Republicans control the House. The Democrats, we control the House, we control the Senate, but they filibuster, and it would take 9 Republicans to go after him. That's what's going on, number one. Number two, Trump has taken money from the Russians for more than 20 years. Eric Trump, his son, told that to a journalist. He said, we can't get funding from banks because we've gone bankrupt too often, so this is what we're doing right now. That is the nub of the whole thing. Trump is afraid of Putin. He's afraid of the Russian mafia because he owes them a lot of money. He also had a sexually perverted tape in a Moscow hotel room. That was the allegation in the Steele dossier. And they have him on tape with prostitutes who are really KGB agents. And he has some kind of kinky, you know, tastes, I guess. So that's what's going on. We have a president not only dishonest, but he is deathly afraid, and I'll go back to the lines, but now I'll leave you with one literary thing you might want to read. I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan, Arthur Conan Doyle, and there is a great short story that he wrote called The Secret of the Gloria Scott, and it's about a guy who ends up being blackmailed by a sailor. He had done a terrible thing when they were out at sea, and at the end it kills him. Read The Secret of the Gloria Scott by Arthur Conan Doyle. Adrian of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Adrian?
Now, Donald Trump keeps saying that he's going to have the biggest mass deportation of undocumented workers we've ever seen. And I don't think he understands the economic implications of what he's talking about. Because just in one industry I'm familiar with, the dairy industry, pretty much every dairy farmer in this state has one or two or more Hispanic immigrants working for them. And it works out real well for the farmers because the Hispanic immigrant workers are very reliable and they're good workers. And if you could, and there are a lot of other industries that depend on Hispanic immigrant workers, the roofing industry, construction industry, food service industry. And if I could wave a magic wand and make all the undocumented workers in this country disappear tomorrow, our economy would grind to a halt.
That is a terrific insight, a terrific comment. You're right. And actually, it's well over half of the people who work on dairy farms in this state who are either Latino or they're undocumented. And that's why there's dispute whether they should have driver's licenses, because now they drive to the farm to work. But cows wouldn't get milked in this state. A lot of them. Cow has to be milked every day, at least once a day, twice a day. They got to be milked on Christmas. They got to be milked on Sundays. Give me a break. Give me a break. And how about meatpacking plants out of Nebraska, South Dakota? Are you kidding me? Take a look at those employees. Foundries, construction, roofing, you're right. These are very hardworking people. What we need is some screens at the border, work visas, and keep out the bad people. They're people that fly in elsewhere from around the world, from the Middle East and from China and everywhere else, who are trying to slip in and on watch lists. We don't want that. We absolutely don't want that. But here's the deal, Adrian. The Democrats have agreed to what they want, the other side. Trump wants to stop it, not because it doesn't give everybody what they want, but because he's doing the same thing that Nixon did in 68, that Reagan did in 80, that Trump did in 2016, interfering with an issue with foreign complications to tilt an election. He is injuring the United States. Mike Overseen, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mike?
This is going to sound kind of bad, but why don't they just let Trump go get that immunity for the president, and then they'll get that, and then tell Biden to shoot Trump, and be over with.
Mike, just so we're clear on the show, we don't advocate anybody shooting anybody. Just so we're clear about that, we don't condone violence. But you're raising a very interesting issue. If Trump has immunity, and by the way, the Supreme Court is not going to say that he has limitless immunity, that he can kill somebody. But if he does get that principle, a very reasonable question is to Trump, does Biden have immunity, whatever he does now? And what's Trump going to say? You put it very graphically. You would be a great novelist or short story writer. You really would. You boil it down, but just for the record, everybody, we don't condone violence, and Mike doesn't either. Mike has a terrific way of expressing himself, which I really, and hope you call more often, Mike. But you're right. You know what's sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander, my friend. Mark from the sack, you're next. What's in your mind, eh, Mark?
It would take a heck of a lot of good sauce to drown out the taste of Donald Trump if he was getting roasted, that the president is not immune to anything. I mean, Hamilton pointed out, because that was the concern that the people had, in the new Constitution and the presidential powers. Hamilton points out in Federalist 69 that the president is amenable to punishment and disgrace, and by amenable, it means subject to. I mean, the fact that they try to say, that Trump is saying this nonsense, and of course the Supreme Court is not going to, grant him immunity to all this stuff. I mean, Donald Trump was, that tried to overthrow the government of the United States. It was a plot that was hatched, that he tried, that he would have pulled it back in 2016 if he hadn't won that election. And in 2020, when he thought it looked like he was going to lose, they were laying the groundwork for this insurrection way back in, well before the election. I mean, that we see more dribs and drabs of information come out. There was some group had, that supporting the insurrectionists had sent a letter to this Folgers Theater or museum in Washington, D.C., saying, we're apologizing to you because, we're going to be setting up a perimeter around the Capitol when they take the White House, when they try to take the Capitol. I mean, there's more and more information comes out just how far spread that this conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States was, that Donald Trump was at the center of it.
Yeah, that's a very good insight, and it goes far beyond Trump. And remember, he sent the save the date card, the equivalent, out on social media. Come January 6th, it's going to be a big deal. January 6th should not have been a big deal. It was just a ceremonial acceptance of the certifications. It's a religious holiday. It's the Feast of the Epiphany, and the Orthodox, I believe, may celebrate Christmas that day. It's a great day. I mean, and he polluted the day, and what he did was, he got him there, and you saw the speech he gave. You saw the speech that Giuliani and Don Jr. and the rest of these characters gave, and they did it to incite. They did it to incite violence. Thanks a lot for calling in, Mark. Okay, we're going to step away for a second. Coming up, by a 5-4 decision, believe it or not, there was an immigration ruling that benefited reason, law, and order. 5-4 coming up.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds.
93.5 The Tap. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time to give a hoot. Learn all about the mysterious nighttime birds calling this area home when you join the Beaver Creek Reserve Citizen Science and Education team for a lesson in all things owls. This fun family event is being held at the Brewing Project on North Oxford Avenue in Eau Claire, Wednesday, January 31st. And yes, hooting like an owl will be encouraged. More information on the Chippewa Falls Area Chamber's website, chippewachamber.org. If shopping in support of small businesses is more your thing, you may want to put Saturday, February 3rd on your calendar. The Love of Vendors, Crafters, and Small Businesses Fair happening just in time for Valentine's Day. Stop in anytime at Southview Elementary in Chippewa Falls, again Saturday, February 3rd. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matchman Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A surprising welcome and an important decision out of the Supreme Court, which I would not have anticipated. By a vote of 5-4, with two of the Republicans joining the three Democrats, the two Republicans were Chief Justice Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett. 5-4, the court ruled that the federal government can take down razor wire that Greg Abbott had put along the Rio Grande River to hurt migrants. Now, first of all, let's parse that a little bit. That seems like a no-brainer. If you know anything about international law, you know anything about our Constitution, navigable waters are the business of the United States. They're not the business of any state. A navigable water is the property of the people, of the government. Nobody that has a lake in this property can say, I own this half of the lake. They can't do it. The people own that half of the lake. And secondly, when it comes to international treaties and when it comes to borders, the federal government decides things, not states. There are frequent, believe it or not, lawsuits between states that are adjacent fighting over the borders. For instance, Wisconsin has a border with Michigan in the Upper Peninsula in the northeastern part of the state. Iowa has a border with Wisconsin and so forth. And sometimes states dispute it. When they do it, that case gets automatically heard in the first instance in the U.S. Supreme Court. And they decide. They decide, no, you know, Wisconsin, you wanted an extra mile there and you don't get it. Okay. And that doesn't happen. Normally the governors are friendly and they talk it out. But when you talk about international borders, when you have a border with a foreign country, in our case, it would be Mexico and Canada, that's a very serious matter. You can't have a bunch of yahoos, a bunch of cowboys, a bunch of right-wing nuts deciding border matters. They absolutely have some skin in the game and some standing to object and talk about immigration, and they absolutely should. I mean, Arizona has a border with Mexico. Texas has a border with Mexico. And so we should hear them. And they have some legitimate things to say. However, when it comes to taking action, that's a different story. And so what Greg Abbott does is he puts up this razor wire, which makes it almost impossible to scramble up on the shore. A woman and two kids drowned a week or so ago. A woman and two kids drowned because Abbott has had his Texas Rangers keep federal agents away. That's unconstitutional. That's unconstitutional. But that's what he has done. And, you know, I've heard a lot about the Texas Rangers. Well, maybe they should have gone to Uvalde and not hung around the hallway. That would be a really good way to use them. But what happens here is The problem is, if you go to federal courts, and this went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and then only 5-4, if you can believe that, the four other tarantulas said, no, Texas can trump, no pun intended, the United States. Keep federal agents out. You can't run borders like that with other countries. And in the Constitution, all the precedent says you can't. Now, what's going on with Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts? I think that the relentless and proper criticism of the U.S. Supreme Court has somewhat gotten to them. And on things they really care about, like abortion, like letting Republican donors put dirty money all over the state in Citizens United, like disenfranchising black people, then they step in and they do their dirty work and pull the knives out of their sleeves. But in a couple of other things, they go, hey, you know, wait a minute, maybe we should make this look good and not do it in everything. But this is a very serious matter. Abbott still has his Texas Rangers keeping federal agents away. We have sent people in to snip the barbed wire, which is very cruel. You know, you have women and kids trying to wade across in this barbed wire there. That's not the way to handle it. I mean, even if you deport them, then you take them into custody and deport them, but you don't injure them physically. Texas, there's a sadistic streak to what's going on down there, and that's got to stop. That's got to stop. How about Trump taking kids away, infants, from their mothers? That was sadistic. That's un-American. That's contrary to our culture, contrary to our Constitution. And that's got to stop. That can never be permitted to happen again. It has stopped now because, thank God, we have Joe Biden in there. So what had happened was somebody brought a lawsuit and won in a district court in Texas. They appealed it up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Remember I told you they're different circuits. I clerked on the Seventh Circuit. In Chicago, the D.C. Circuit is the big kahuna, not legally, but in fact, out in D.C. Well, the Fifth Circuit is the Southern Circuit. So is the 11th Circuit. The Fifth Circuit is the most right-wing circuit of them all. A lot of Trump appointees and a lot of, you know, just MAGA types. And they overruled the lower judge and they said, we are not going to order the federal officers in there. Abbott's right. And so we bar the federal officers from going and cutting barbed wire so that somehow they're helping women and children not get cut on barbed wire, if you can believe that. That went up to the Supreme Court. Decisions of the circuit courts of appeals go to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court does not have to take them. What happens is you go up there and you do what's called filing a petition for a writ of certiorari, an old Latinate term. Just mean to be made more certain. In other words, I don't know why they keep using those kinds of terms. They grant very few of them. They get, I think, 10,000 or more a year, and they might grant 200 of them or fewer. But in any event, they took this one and they overturned it with Coney Barrett and John Rogers Green with the three Democrats. So I don't know where this is going to go, but that's one little bright light that some poor woman and her little kids aren't going to get cut in barbed wire because of the Governor Abbott of Texas. Okay, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and then we are going to talk a little bit more about Trump's cognitive lapses, a couple that are really unbelievable, coming up.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops. or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, veteran journalist.